military training, trumpets are used to signal activities for all trainees, and there are trumpet signals for formation assembly, there's trumpet roll call for flag raising, and there's trumpet signal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and there's trumpet signal to end activities or duties, there's trumpet signal to bring down the flag, and there's trumpet signal to return to quarters and go to sleep, and there's trumpet signal to switch off the lights, and also there's trumpet call for military funeral. So in the military, trumpet is very important signal for them to start or end anything in activity. And a chivalrous and dignified military personnel should pay attention and respond and responsibly abide with those different trumpet signals without grumbling. Now let's reflect on what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Now, in the military, trainees are designated into squads and platoons and companies and battalions. For example, one squad is composed of 4 to 10 soldiers. Like, for example, if we look at our seating arrangement, this first row is like one squad, a second row, another squad, but these two rows can be called one platoon. And there are many two rows in this group. That group, we can call that company. And this, since there are 4 different rows here, there are at least 4 companies in this sanctuary. And we call that battalion. 2 companies can be called a battalion. Another 2 companies is also called battalion. But since as a unit, we only consider that as 1 battalion, unless they are different units, right? And in the military academy, a squad of first-year trainees, composed of 4 to 10 soldiers or trainees, is trained by second-year trainees. The second-year will lead them. They are the ones who train the first-year trainees. And the third-year trainees oversee the platoon, not just a squad, a platoon. They oversee a platoon where the second trainees training the first-year trainees. And the fourth-year trainees or the graduating trainees, they oversee the overall training of companies and battalions of trainers. And the superintendent in the military academy supervises the overall training, education, and practical needs of trainees. Christians, we are compared to military trainees and soldiers. And Christ is our supreme commander. He oversees and makes sure that our training is proper and well provided for, practically and spiritually. As his soldier, we do our best to please Christ, our supreme commander. And in his right time, he promotes us to the next level of spirituality. So how can we know that we have been promoted to the next level of spirituality? We train new believers. If you are still being trained by another trainer, then you are still on the first level. But if you are starting to train another person, you have already been promoted in the next level of spirituality. We entrust and train new believers to be right, can you hear me now? All right. Thank you, Dave. Where are we now? As soldier of Christ, we do our best to please the Lord so that in His right time, He will promote us to the next level of spirituality. And as good soldiers of Christ, we please Him and not entangled in civilian affairs or partisan politics. The practice of faith in Christ is declared and conveyed in our priorities of life. Our priorities would convey or show or exhibit how we are practicing our faith in Christ. Are we serious in our practice of faith? Let's read again verse 50 of our passage. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Now, respective versions of the scripture translate the term declare as I tell you, tell, or say. I say to you, brothers and sisters, or I proclaim to you, brothers and sisters. Or others, it says, I convey a message. This is the message I convey to you, brothers and sisters. That is what was Paul said. But the term declared that has been used by the NIV implies emphatic authority. It's more authoritative word that many of respective version of the scripture use the term declare instead of just say tell, say proclaim, or convey. Emphatic authority with great importance is conveyed when it declares that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does a perishable inherit the imperishable. It means it did not just suggest this may happen. No, it will happen. It's authoritative declaration. Furthermore, it is wise to take note of this truth, and it should not be taken for granted. We need to pay attention for this, and to convey otherwise, it may result to remorse, not just here on earth, but in eternity. Flesh and blood pertains to this earthly mortal body that will decompose or perish after death. Our mortal body returns to dust when we die physically. Mortal body cannot enter heaven. How is that? Earthly body cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot do anything then by our human effort, by human strength, to inherit the kingdom of God, since our mortal earthly body cannot enter heaven. Why? Together, let's reflect on what it explained clearly in Galatians chapter 5, verse 15 to 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, faction, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we can practically observe in partisan politics, there's hatred, there's discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, and envy. And if we are more interested in partisan politics or vigorously defend politicians that we support or subscribe, but we are less interested in reading the Word of God, are we not masters of ourselves? Are we not following our human instincts? Now, preferences of policies may have sparked partisan politics all around the world. This is what I prefer, this is what I prefer. So, different preference sparks partisan politics. Our question now is, should Christians support politicians? Yes. Should Christians have favorite politicians? Yes. But remember, one vote is only counted as one vote. But we should prioritize the Lord if we agree, even if we agree or not. God established authorities that He deems necessary for any situation. Can you accept that? God established authorities that He deems necessary for any situation. Question is, did God establish badmouth politicians as authorities? Did God establish drug addicts as authorities? Did God establish simple-minded people as authorities? Or did God establish religious people as authorities? Did God establish women as authorities? One vote cannot establish authorities, but God can. God can. Prayerfully reflect on what it declares in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Many people ignore this. Those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Warning, this is godly command. This is biblical command, meaning don't ever use this godly command to rebuke people who do not believe in God. Don't use this. Why? Certainly, only believers of God will reflect on this godly command and consider their attitude toward authority. So this command is appropriate to rebuke believers, and believers should be glad to be reminded. Flesh and blood do not grasp the importance of godly commands. Only believers who receive the Holy Spirit can accept and obey godly commands and avoid the acts of flesh. Perishable body, our mortal body, do not inherit the kingdom of God. But the spiritual person who inherits the kingdom of God has the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Prayerfully reflect on what it declares in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-25. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus, Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Take note, it was Apostle Paul who wrote this biblical truth. And probably the Holy Spirit had already produced some fruit in your life, but not necessarily similar to what is enumerated by Apostle Paul or what Apostle Paul had experienced. We should commit to serve the Lord all our life and not worried of material things anymore. All Christians could have the fruit of the Spirit eventually. There's no significant spiritual changes that could happen in our life until we prioritize our spiritual needs over material needs. That is when we see more transformation in our life, when we prioritize our spiritual needs. So keep praying that God will inspire you to prioritize Him, prioritize your spiritual life, seek His authority over your life, to let godly righteousness prevail in your behavior. Then you praise God for added material things in your life. Your spiritual life will certainly change forever when you prioritize your spiritual life. Let's read again our passage in verse 51 and 52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Perhaps you have heard these stories in the past. A Christian, an skeptic, was reading this passage in the Bible. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, we will be changed. He was reading, and then suddenly that man heard and he was surprised. That's trumpet. And he bowed down on his knees and cried, Lord, forgive me. Help me believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to be with you forever. And then another trumpet sound came. It's not as the same as before. And then suddenly he heard the shout from the other side of the room. Christian, stop playing the trumpet. He thought it was a trumpet from the Lord, but anyway, Christ will return sooner than later. Then we meet Christ in the air when He returns and take us into heaven. We will be raised imperishable. Our mortal earthly body will be changed. A human flesh and blood cannot comprehend this mystery, and we cannot understand and explain in details how it may happen. But if you can imagine it, it's kind of like changing clothes. When Christ returns, we exit our mortal body, this body that we have. And simultaneously, God gives imperishable, immortal body so that we may enter heaven. Flesh and blood cannot enter heaven. So our earthly body will decompose and return to dust on the ground. Now, how do you personally interpret what God declared in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19? By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. I remember the time I had a beautiful teacher, and many people appreciate her, that she is really beautiful. Indeed, she was beautiful. But she said, you know, children, this is just a covering of me. If you remove everything in this flesh and only the bones, skeletal system will remain, it's all the same. Beauty will fade. It was very nice explanation for a beautiful person. She had a beautiful heart. Now, as much as we want to be more religious and spiritual, the call of the flesh to prioritize material things seems more convincing and attractive. Why? God declared it. And if God declared it, it certainly happens. To physical bodies, our physical bodies that originated from the dust of the earth, naturally, we sweat for material things. We sweat for food, but not for spiritual food. To sweat implies instinctive passion, which prioritizes its natural inclination. That's, you sweat, you have that passion of doing it, but the tendency is to follow our inclination. Our earthly body prioritizes earthly attractions and need. That is what we prioritize, this body. In comparison, we prioritize spiritual attraction and needs after we are born in the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit enters our hearts and minds, we now prioritize our spiritual life. Now, someone observed that Filipinos are really very good karaoke singers. You believe that? Yeah. You like it? You like singing in karaoke? You agree that you're good? They observed it back in the Philippines, that every corner in the street there's this karaoke, and people are singing when they feel like singing. Maybe you have tried singing in karaoke. If you have not tried yet, you can easily find videos of songs with lyrics online. Anyway, karaoke is more attractive because after you sing one song, you get a score and how you perform or sang, and you will be getting better if you are not better yet. What was the highest score that you had when you were singing karaoke? What's that best comment of karaoke that you had? You're a great singer. You're a great singer. But sadly for me, every time I sang, I usually hear, you're getting better. You're getting better, at least, all right? I'm getting better according to the karaoke. Well, not everyone who can sing have passion of singing. Passion of singing is different from ability to sing. Meaning, if you can sing one song for 2 hours, just one song, for 2 hours, keep on singing until you perfect it, you have that passion of singing. But if you sing a song just once and then sing another song, maybe you are good in singing, but you don't have passion in singing. Actually, there are good karaoke singers who have exceptionally awesome voices. But if you ask them to join the worship team, they would hesitate. Why? Singing praises to God is ministry calling. It should not be forced to anyone, even if they have great voices. So instead, pray for them that they may clearly hear the voice of God when He calls them, so that they may join the worship team eventually. Likewise, we pray for punctuality. We don't force anyone to be punctual during worship services. Surely, they also want to be punctual. Most probably, they have spiritual struggles, and enthusiastic believers will not intentionally avoid some part of the worship service. How do you personally interpret what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14? Let's read. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. When controlled by flesh and blood, earthly nature, we cannot discern when God is speaking to us. We resist the word of God. Instead of reflecting on the message and change whatever is needed to be changed. But if we respond obediently to godly instruction, it practically shows that we are inspired by the Holy Spirit and we are preparing for eternity. So when Christ returns, here's a question. Will you be clothed with imperishable immortality? Will you be given spiritual bodies? Let's read again verse 53 of our passage. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When Christ returns, He transforms us from mortal to immortal. It will be like changing clothes from perishable to imperishable. Flesh and blood and earthly body, we feel the pain. When you're cooking, you cut yourself, it's painful. Or you burn yourself, it's painful. Do you suppose that we also feel pain in heaven? In heaven, there's no more pain. In heaven, no more crying. In heaven, no more mourning. There will always be rejoicing, peace with the Lord forever in heaven. But those who cannot enter heaven will suffer pain of torture in hell without end for all eternity. When we were spiritually dead, we cannot imagine the eternal agony that awaits us in hell. We do not understand that. Actually, there are those unbelievers who are just being proud that they will go to hell because they will be having parties in hell. That is how they understand. They did not know that it's torture in hell. Someone even claimed that he will be the king of those who would be going in hell. There will be a lot of high fives in hell. That is how they imagine. Why? Because they are spiritually dead. Only when you are spiritually alive that you can imagine how terrible it would be, eternal torture, and how wonderful it will be when we enter heaven. They cannot imagine heaven is so eternally wonderful. They think heaven is boring because the only thing that they heard from the Bible is that every day and night, believers will be singing, "Holy, holy, praise God Almighty." That is how they think. They think that they will be like a choir singing holy, holy. But in eternity, there will be something that you will be thankful for. The reason you would be praising God, that is something that is not defined yet, but we will expect that. Why do you praise God? Because there is something you want to praise God. Why do you say thank you to another person? Because there's something that you want to thank that person for. And for all eternity, we will be filled with thankfulness and praise, because for all eternity, we experience the eternal wonder of God. But only when we have the Holy Spirit in us, we can imagine that. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Ask God to send the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you will be spiritually born. Ask for faith. Ask like, God, give me faith to believe in Jesus Christ and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Don't stop until you sense that the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Sometimes we deceive ourselves. We say, oh, I prayed already to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but no changes yet in their life. Make sure there's changes as evidence that you have been transformed, so that you can imagine how great and wonderful heaven is. And you can also imagine the terrible agony of torture that await those who rejected Christ. Can you imagine how wonderful heaven is? Can you imagine how terrible hell is? Reflect on what it declares and about us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Now, the other day there was snow. I hope the snow will end now. I hope that winter is almost over now, but hopefully snow will come again next year. But now imagine this situation. Just imagine, you were very nice. You shovel the snow next to your neighbor. Your neighbor did not know that it was you shovel snow and clear their path regularly. It doesn't matter. You did it anyway because you sense it in your heart. You have that joy doing something good without being noticed. Do you think that it is just your natural goodness to do things favorable to others without being noticed? Or do you credit your goodness as fruit of the Holy Spirit in you? When the Holy Spirit is active in our life, our immediate reaction is praise God, thank God. We credit the Lord, not ourselves. The natural instinct, human natural instinct, is to credit the self, but the Holy Spirit inspires us to thank God. Now, remember this. Whenever someone praises you, if you are playing basketball, for example, and you made a good shot playing basketball, oh, you're good, you're good. And your reaction would be something like, yeah, you know me, I'm good at that, something like that. If that is your reaction, it's the human flesh working in your life. But when your reaction is, wow, Lord, I didn't expect that. Thank you. There's this praise in your heart. You know that it's the Holy Spirit working in your life. I heard somebody an engineer was praising his foreman. "Oh, you're really good. You're really good." And the foreman was really good in carpentry or something, in construction. And the foreman said, "Siak pai." How do you translate that in English? In Tagalog, it says, "Ako pa." Or what is that in English? "Me. You know me," something like that. I don't know how to translate that. There's this language that really easily understood in our language but cannot be translated. But the foreman was just trying to present himself as being very good. And it's good at the time. But I reflect on that is the human nature. It's not the Holy Spirit. But when you are doing something and you feel like it's not me, something like that. "I know I did, but I think it's the Holy Spirit working." When you're good at helping other people, you praise God that He gives you that joy of helping. Not because you want others also to recognize that you are good or expect some help from others. That's the human nature. Together, let's reflect on the prayer of King David in Psalm 51, verse 10 to 12. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." It is God who inspires us to realize our shortcomings. Many times we have mistakes, and when we realize that, that's the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and we ask Him for forgiveness. Sin alienates us from God. Sin hinders our prayers so that God will not listen to our prayers. That is sad reality. But when the Holy Spirit is active in our lives, He inspires us to abide in Him. And we sense that joy of His salvation. This joy comes from the Holy Spirit that sustains us even to be punctual. Nobody is watching us, we continue to participate in the ministry. We do it because it's the Lord who helped us give that joy, doing something good in His eyes. Seriously reflect what happened to the Israelites in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9 to 10. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people have been weeping as they listen to the word of the law." Nehemiah said, "Go, enjoy the choice food and sweet drinks, and send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Ezra, the priest, read the book of the law, and when the Israelites heard the words of God, they wept in repentance because their hearts were broken. Nehemiah declared, "The joy of the Lord is their strength to keep on, to keep on." The same is true with our participation in the ministry or a practice of faith in the Lord. When we sense that joy, we keep on worshiping Him, serving Him. There are seemingly important activities in the world that steal our joy in the Lord, especially being focused on materialism. Worldly deceptive logics have deceived many church attendees. They are busy doing something legit just to avoid the responsibilities that they are supposed to do. I'm doing this because this is legit. This is what I need. My family needs this. I need this. This is for my future. They are busy doing legit just to avoid responsibilities. They choose to do what is convenient to them just to avoid their mission purposes. Now listen carefully. When Christ returns and the trumpet sounds, many will be surprised that their supposedly good deeds are actually wasted effort for avoiding their call. So be prayerful. Don't insist on doing what you presume as right and legit. Instead, prayerfully ask God to inspire you and follow His calling. If God called you to full-time ministry or part-time ministry, full-time mission or short-term mission, pray that God will sustain you with peaceful joy. Will you be found faithful to your calling when the last trumpet call is sounded? That is our challenge this morning. Let's stand up and let's pray.